2 Kings chapter 4. I'm going to read basically the bulk of 2 Kings chapter 4, and then we're going to talk about it, okay? Because there's a couple stories in here of women who received the word of God. Okay? Before we get there, you hold your place there. I'm going to share a little bit about two different kinds of meaning when we say the word of God. There is the written word, which is, you see in 1 John 1, where in the beginning was the word, that word, comma, word, is the word, the Greek word logos, which specifically means written word. So in the beginning was the written word, and the written word was with God, and the written word was God. And it's referring specifically to Jesus. I mean, he's everywhere. You can't get away from him. He's everywhere. Then there's another one, and you see it in Luke 1:38. There's the Rhema word. And the angel speaks to Mary and says, you're going to have a son. And she says, well, according to your word, which was spoken word. The spoken or revealed word of God is what we call the Rhema word. It's spoken. It's been revealed unto you. On Sunday mornings when you come in here, I'm ministering from the logos. See, the living word, which is written, becomes spoken word. Okay? And we're gonna see a little bit of that unfold here in 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, who's one of the prophets, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons and to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? What do you have in your possession? What do you possess in your house? What do you have? Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Oh, come on. You can do a lot with oil. You can't hardly bake anything without oil, can you? I mean, you need oil in everything. Right? Just like candles. Oil is for light. I mean, it was for everything. It was food and it was light. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. In other words, don't just get one or two. But go everywhere and get empty vessels. And when you come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it, referring to the oil, into the vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it, the oil, out into the vessels. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And her son said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. So as long as they had empty vessels to pour the oil into, the one little jar of oil she had, I mean, you think about that. You know, my favorite oil is avocado oil. Oh, I love avocado oil. I mean, you could put it on salads, everything. It's just wonderful. And so I think about, you know, my bottle of avocado oil. I'm going to fill up as many empty vessels using that one jar, that one bottle of oil. And not just a few, but many. I mean, you think you go to your neighbors and you borrow, I need some vessels. Well, what kind of vessels? You know, just pots. I need things to put my oil in. The man of God spoke the word to me. He said. So he spoke to her. It was a revealed word to her. He spoke to her. Right? You know, God loves widows. Oh, yes, he does. Bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is no more, not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Once they had a place to put the oil stopped. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, again, here's another revealed word. Go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons will live on the rest. In other words, God provided for her financial needs. She had all she needed to provide for her needs. She just needed a word from God on how to do it. He provided for her. he provided for her. She had what she needed, and she listened to him, did what he said, and he provided for her. Amen? Not only does her sons not need to be sold into slavery because of debt. Because of what? Debt. Not only did her sons not need to be sold into slavery now to pay off the debt, now she could pay off the debt and have plenty of oil to live on. Right? Did he take care of her? He did, didn't he? Now, we're getting to my favorite part. Now, it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman and she persuaded Elijah to come in and to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please, let us make a small upper room, a small chamber on the wall, or some translations say on the roof." So they're making they're going to build a little room onto their house. And whenever she says, and we can, I'll read it again. "Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand. So it will be, whenever he comes to us, he can turn in here." And it happened one day that he came there, and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, however you say it, his servant, "Call the Shunammite woman." When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, "Say now to her," this is Elijah speaking to Gehazi, "say now to her, look, you have been concerned with us for all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?" And she answered, "I dwell among my own people. I don't need any special favors. I'm good." So he said, "What then is to be done for her?" So Elijah is speaking to Gehazi. He's just sending his helper to talk to her. And Gehazi answered and said, "Actually, she has no son and her husband is old." So he said, "Call her." When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And he said, "About this time next year, you shall embrace a son." And she said, "No, my lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant." Doesn't sound like she had a whole lot of faith there for that, does it? But the woman conceived, and she bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her. Now, so he told her. So that's the spoken, revealed word of God to her, right? And the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out with his father to the reapers, and he said to his father, "My head, my head." So he said to a servant, "Carry him to his mother." So when he had taken him in, brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. So she took him to the prophet's chamber, shut the door, and went out. Then she called her husband and said, "Please send one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back." Does she stop and get all emotional? Is she crying and weeping, carrying on, getting all natural in the flesh? "Well, this needs to be done, and I can't believe God promised me this, and this didn't happen, and I blah, 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 blah." No, she didn't, did she? Did she even tell her husband? No. She didn't even tell her husband what's going on. So he said, "Why are you going to him today? It's neither a new moon or a Sabbath." And she said, "It is well." That's it. No complaining. No carrying on. She didn't say, "Well, our son has died. I didn't even ask for a son, and now he's dead." You know, when we lost our second child, the first one after Faith, I'd had this word. I wasn't looking for it. I was driving my van, our van. Oh my goodness, that van is so old. I was driving the van, and the Lord spoke to me. I was just praying in tongues and listening to some worship music, and he said, "You're going to have a son, name him Josiah." And I thought, well, okay. I was just, my quiver was full. I mean, my whole life, I'd never been quite so happy. I've got the most beautiful, amazing, wonderful wife who puts up with all of my bull. And now I've got this beautiful, amazing daughter who's just an absolute gift from God who shouldn't even have lived. And now he says, "You're going to have a son." Well, a little while goes by, I don't know, maybe a year or two, and she gets pregnant, and we think, well, this is it. We're having our son Josiah. And then he died in utero at about 20 weeks. And somebody came up to me, and she said, "I'm so sorry about your son Josiah." And I said, "Well, that's not Josiah. God doesn't give dead gifts. Come on. He doesn't make you a promise and then not follow through on it." Okay, so she says, "It is well." She has not given up on this. This is in her heart. Then she saddled a donkey, said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you." And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off, he said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, the Shunammite woman. Please run now to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child?'" And she answered. You see that? "It is well." Now, she came to the man of God at the hill. She caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress. And the Lord has hidden from me why, and has not told me." So she said, "Did I ask this for a son from the Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" Then he said to Gehazi, "Get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. If anyone greets you, do not answer him. But lay my staff on the face of the child." And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." Now, in the Old Testament, what we're reading here, in these times, you've got the times of the prophets. And the prophet is both represents the written word, or the spoken word, the rhema word of God, and they represent the presence of God. This woman went out, and she built a house, built a room on her house for the spoken word of God, for the revealed word of God to dwell, for the presence of God to dwell. She made a place in her home. She made a place in her life for God. She didn't just say, "Well, whatever will be, que sera, sera." She built a place for the presence of God to dwell in her home. For us today, we build a place of God to dwell for us in our homes, in our lives, in our hearts. She says, "I'm not leaving you. You represent the presence of God. I'm not leaving you. You're coming with me." Remember Moses, when they were getting ready to go into the... He told God, he said, "I'm not going unless you go with me." See, you got to have the presence of God. So she goes out, she gets the presence of God, right? Okay. Yes, I was just there. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid his staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him and told him, saying, "The child has not awakened." When Elijah came into the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. He went in therefore, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house, and again went up and stretched himself on the child. Then the child sneezed 7 times. And then the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite woman." So he called her. And she came in to him, and he said, "Pick up your son." So she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. Now, when something horrible happened to her, did she complain?
No.
Did she fuss and whine and cry?
No.
No, listen, you know what? I'm not saying you can't do that. Because sometimes stuff, when we've lost children, I mean, we've had tough times. We've laid down and cried. You know, things happen. You lay down and cry sometimes. But then it's time to get up. It's just time to get up. And what this woman had done is she had made a place already. I mean, she went into this. She was just making way for God to move in her life. She was just making a way for God to reveal himself to her. She and her husband, she would call to him and say, come and have food with us. Come and fellowship with us, right? She would call to him, come fellowship with me. She was reaching out to the presence of God. The presence of God wasn't available then the way it is now to us. Now we have the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus said to his disciples, he says, you know him in John 14. He said, you know the Holy Spirit because he's been with you. Throughout their history, the Jewish people had the presence of God with them. But it was not readily available in the same capacity that it is to us now. This woman went out of her way. She spent of her own finances. They used their own home. And they built a place for the man of God who represented the presence of God, who represented the spoken word of God, to come in and to live in their home. And as often as he came by, he stopped there. She never asked him for anything. Imagine that. Going to God and not asking for anything. But just going and saying, hey, listen, I just want to be with you. I want to spend time with you. I wasn't, when God said you're going to have a son, name him Josiah, I wasn't asking him for anything. I didn't. I never asked him for more children. When Kathy and I were dating, I wanted to have 4 daughters. She said, no, you don't. You don't. She said, I was a daughter, and I've got cousins, and I know how girls are. You don't want 4 of us. She says, I want boys. You know, I love my daughter. But you know what? I think 1 is good. 1 is sufficient. how much loving on a princess can you give, right, Faith? You have to have just 1. Oh, here we come. I get my hug. I know. I know. I love you too, baby. Okay. Yeah. But listen, you know what? I never really wanted sons because I'm not athletic. I'm not outdoorsy. And I thought, what am I going to do with a son? And Kathy would say, well, you go to their games when they play and you support them. And then we had this son. We lost one, and we named him Daniel. He's in heaven with his oldest brother David, and he's there with my mom and Tinkerbell. But now we have this son, and I was holding him, and I never realized how much I wanted a son until I was holding him. I told Kathy, I said, I feel like I have a crush on him. I don't know. It's the strangest thing. I would just hold him and look down at him. I'm like, I didn't know. Nobody told me. Nobody told me. I had this beautiful little girl, and I was just, and we'd had so many problems, and we never even considered that we would ever have more children. I mean, it wasn't on our radar. We weren't trying to. But we were seeking God. We were just following God's plan for our life. We made room for him, and he said, I'm going to give you a son. If he'd have told me that you're going to lose one before you get to this one, I probably wouldn't have gone beyond that. Would this woman, if she had known that her son was going to die, would she have wanted the son? I mean, who wants to go through that kind of trial? That kind of pain and agony of going through something like that. But she wasn't in it for the something. She was in it for the someone. She was in it for him. See, when we're in it for him, I'm going to say it because it's just so corny. When we're in it for him, we're in it to win it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when you're in it for him, you're in it for the long haul. You're in it for the end goal. You're in it for no matter what happens along the way, you're in it for him. You're in it to win it. You know what I'm saying? We're in it for the right reason. It doesn't matter what happens along the way because all kinds of bumps and things are in the road, right? I mean, you know that if you've come up and down the road here. I can't wait to get rid of those speed bumps. Not that I want to go 50 miles an hour, but, you know, I mean, they're hard. You know what I'm saying? But there's speed bumps on the road. There's things that come up in life. Things you would never expect. I mean, what would you give up in order not to have the problems that you've had, yet because if your goal is on him, it's not on, well, all these things need to be done and none of this stuff is happening the way I think it should happen. But if your goal, your end goal is on, I'm going to reach him. I'm going because of him. My purpose is because I want the presence of God in my life. Because I want the Word of God to manifest in my life for me. Because I've seen how the Word of God has manifested in other people's lives, and I'm going to get it to manifest in my life too. And I'm going to do it because I'm seeking Him, not because there's something in it for me that I'm looking for, because I don't need a Rolls Royce. I don't need a 5,000 square foot home. I don't need those things. Come on. I mean, that's just more bathrooms to clean. Let's be realistic. You know, listen, if we're in it just to gain things, then we're in it for the wrong reason. Our reason for being in it, our reason for expecting the presence of God is so that no matter what we go through, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. No matter what we go through, he's with us. If we make room for him, he's there. When something tragic happens, come on, he's there. When something difficult has come into your life, he's there. Why? Because you put your priority in him. Our priority has to be him. If our priority is so that we can have a good name in the community, come on. What is the purpose of the church? To have a good name in the community? No, Jesus said, they hate me because of the word. They're going to hate you because of the word. Right? So if our goal is to have a good name in the community, oh, well, we just love that church up there. Nobody goes to it, but we just love that church up there because they're so friendly, and they have events, and they do harvest festivals, and they do Easter egg hunts, and everybody goes out, and we have a great time. And then we start to water down the word of God to be something less than what it is so that people will like us and that they'll come. Come on. I tell you what, I've had opportunity because people want you to do something less, because people want you to do this instead of that, because people are focused on the natural circumstances and not on the end goal. And the end goal is him, the purpose that God sent me here for. Let's talk about this for a second. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. I told you, I always know I know where I'm going. I do. I know where I'm going. I do. You know why? I can't tell you what the title of the message is going to be every week, but I know where we're going because the greater one lives in me. Oh, my pages just all stick together so much. They're so crinkled and so much markings in them and stuff. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he himself, Jesus Christ, that's he himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for what? The equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So what are we supposed to become like? We're supposed to become like Jesus until we all reach the fullness of that, till we've all come to the full measure of being like Christ. Is he opposed to Easter egg hunts? I can tell you a couple reasons why I think he might be. But ultimately, if it's helping others, if we have a harvest festival, I love harvest festivals. I love, you know what I love? I love Halloween. Can I just say it? I like Halloween. I like Halloween. It's fun. I like pumpkins and scarecrows, and I like dressing up. Yes, it's so much fun, right? You know what? But that's not the end goal. It's just a part of the process on the way. It's just a part of what we do along the way. It's not a means to an end. What is the means to the end? In the Old Testament, it was the king, and it was the high priest, and it was the prophet. They were the ones who brought the word. They were the ones who governed the people. Listen. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to be a perfect man or woman, to the measure of the full stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. What am I here for? I'm a pastor. I'm a gift. Jesus sent me to you. I'm a gift. The pastor is a gift sent from Jesus. I'm not glorifying myself. Trust me. This is hard for me to do, to talk like this about myself. But the purpose of the pastor is for the helping to equip the saints. Let's go back to Luke 1:17. When Jesus told me, when I came here and I was seeking the Lord on what the purpose of me being here was for and what the purpose of this church is. Luke 1:17. Luke 1:17, it's the very last phrase of Luke 1:17, making ready a people prepared for the Lord. What is the goal of the gifts of ministry, the ministry gifts? Making people ready for the coming of the Lord. The purpose of the pastor, the prophet, the apostle, the evangelist, and the teacher is for the equipping of the saints to make them ready and prepared for the Lord. Not to be prepared to make a good name, not to be prepared to perform rituals and just natural stuff. But ultimately, Jesus is returning, and he's returning for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such blemish. This woman, she didn't have the infilling of the Spirit of God. She had to make a literal place in her home. You guys have seen War Room, right? You've seen War Room? I mean, come on. I mean, how many of you ladies would clear out your closet in your bedroom and make a prayer spot? Dana's like, yeah, I would. She's like, I'm all about that. Come on. I'm all about that. Listen, where are you going to put all your clothes? My shoes, right? But you know, here, you know, this woman, I mean, she built a place, literally made an addition on her home so she'd have a place for the presence of God to dwell. Listen, for us, we have us. The Spirit of God dwells in us. You can set up your war room anywhere, baby. You can do it right in front of the fire in winter. You can set it up right in front of the swamp cooler in summer. Come on, you know you love the swamp cooler. I know I do. Oh, man. Praise the Lord. I don't care if I can't hear the TV over it. I don't need the TV. I need to just stand there and get blown on by the cool presence. You know what I'm saying? When we make room for him, he can perform great miracles for us. Maybe not exactly the way you think. Do you think that first something's going to have to die? No. Do you think first you're going to come under pressure from the government and they're going to come and try and steal everything from you? You don't originally, do you? But come on. I mean, you know, Kathy and I, we got to the place with this house, and I was talking to Debbie, and I said, you know what, I'm to the place with this house in Santa Maria that if it doesn't sell this time, I'm absolutely okay with just letting it go. Because sometimes you got to let things go. You just have to let them go and let them be gone. Right? Don't hold on to things that you don't need. She built a house, a room on her house for the presence of God, because what was more important to her? Having the presence of God. She didn't ask for anything. She says, I'm fine. I live here amongst my own people. I've got no problems. We've got closed borders. People aren't coming in trying to kill us. Hello. because we had those attacks yesterday. A bombing in New Jersey, a bombing in New York City, in the Chelsea district. Stabbings in the name of Allah in St. Cloud, Minnesota yesterday. You didn't know about that.
No. I did watch the news yesterday.
You know, what better time to seek God and be in His presence? I'm telling you, I mean, for so many reasons, but really, I mean, when it comes right down to the basic, pure, simple thing, that what we need more than anything is we need His presence.
That's right.
I'm convinced that if we'll seek His presence, if we'll contend for His glory, if we'll contend for Him, then He will contend for us. Isaiah 49:25 says this about children. He says, I will contend with him who contends with you, and I will save your children. How much more is he willing to do that for us, his children? Listen, he took Israel, and during the time of the plagues coming on Egypt, I mean, and there was darkness in all the land, but there was light in Goshen. There were frogs in all the land, but not in Goshen. The water turned blood red in all the land, but in Goshen they had water. They didn't have locusts. If you applied the blood of the lamb sacrificed, then you didn't lose your firstborn. What did they have to do? They had to trust God. They put the blood of a lamb on our doors and windows? I mean, come on. It's just going to stink. I mean, how many of you would like, well, I just had my house painted. I don't know if I want to do that. You know what I mean? It'll wash off. You know, I mean, but the purpose was being obedient to God, when you take the blood of a lamb and you put it on the lentils and the doorposts, you're saying, I'm putting God first. He said to do it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to trust him. I'm making room for God to move in my home and in my family. And in doing that, when they put that blood, they allowed for God to move and to protect them, because God wasn't out killing the firstborn. No, it wasn't God. It was the angel of death. It was death. You know whose death is? Satan. Satan comes to bring death. I mean, you go back to the garden. If you'll stay away from that tree, you'll have life. Jesus says, I come to give life and that more abundantly. But the enemy, he comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. That's his job. If it's stealing from you, if it's killing you, if it's destroying your family, it's not from God. It's from Satan. Satan is the one who comes in to do that. Listen. Oh, I can't get into that right now. If we'll put him first, though, if we'll trust him, make room for him. You know him because he's lived with you. But I'm telling you most assuredly, he will live in you. Well, that's the words of Jesus, the Messiah, the one who came, the one who lived, the one who died. My spirit is going to come and he's going to live in you. And he's going to empower you. Right? He's also going to fill you to overflowing with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart. Come on. If we make time for him, you know, it doesn't matter what happens. If we can just put God first and we just seek him. Oh, it's well. How you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. Oh, all is well. It's well. God's got it under control. God's got my situation taken care of. I'm not worrying about it. I mean, how many hairs can you add to your head by worrying about something anyway? Can you add any? I mean, we've got Clairol and L'Oreal, and we can color our hair now. Right? I mean, back then, you know, maybe they had henna rinse. I don't know. You know, henna rinse. I think of I Love Lucy with that. You know what I'm saying? You can't permanently change the color of your hair by worrying about it. You can't add days of your life to worrying about a situation or taking concern and care over it. Worry steals from us. Worry takes from us. Fear actually physiologically causes stress and inflammation in your body. Stress and inflammation bring about all kinds of chronic diseases and problems. You know, some people say, well, you know, if it wasn't for worry, I wouldn't have anything. Well, you want to get rid of that worry because you're told a whole bunch of times by God not to worry about anything. But in all things, trust him. In all things, trust him. Don't worry. Amen. Well, she wasn't worried. She went to the man of God. She said, I didn't ask for this. You're going to fix it. I didn't ask for this son. You promised him to me. Now you go take care of this problem. She didn't try to take care of it herself. She didn't call the paramedics. Not that you shouldn't call paramedics if something happens. Okay? Let's try to reason together with one another. I mean, you know, when Faith was born and we were talking to the neonatal team, and there's like 20 of them and two of us, and you're just like, okay. They're like, well, these are all the things that can, okay. You know, and you say, okay, well, we get it. You guys are going to do everything you can, and we're going to do everything we can. We're going to trust God like it depends. Well, now you can't deny where she's at. You can't just take her out of the hospital. Well, obviously, we're not going to take her out of the hospital. She weighed 13 ounces. You couldn't even touch her without getting her overly stimulated and causing her to lose more weight. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we have to be reasonable. We always say, do everything like it depends on you. Trust God like it depends on him. So if there's something within your ability, like that woman whose sons, right, that the debtors are going to come and take them away and put them into slavery because I can't afford to pay our debts. God provided for her supernaturally. You know, that's one of two really, really important lessons on oil, because one of them comes with Hanukkah. When, I mean, they come back in to take the temple and they're cleansing the temple and they don't have enough of the special oil to light the menorah in the temple for the times of cleansing. God made the oil last. God loves oil. Oil's good. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we're going to get talking about that. From here on out, for at least a couple weeks, we're going to talk about when faith seems weak and victory lost. Right? We're going to get some victory. We're going to keep moving forward. We're going to keep putting God first, because there's no victory without putting priority. If we don't put God as the priority, we're not going to have a victory. If we don't listen to what God says, we're not going to have a victory. We'll have defeat, and we'll be defeated continually unless we put him first. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. We thank you for the Word of God. It's so rich and full of life for us. We thank you, Father, for your Spirit. I release every person today with a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit on their lives, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.